A little holiday magic can go a long way, especially when it comes to shopping. Online superstores just don't have the cheer and warmth you need when winter kicks in and the to-do lists get long. But there's one place that really celebrates the season. Mount Shasta Mall's 80 stores and services help you give with confidence, and all the special seasonal events make sure you can enjoy some signature holiday magic. Charity Trail of Trees and Family Dynamics presents Storytime with Santa this Saturday, December 6th at the food court beginning at 9:30 a.m. A free book to the first 200 children donated by First Five Shasta. Milk and cookies will be served. Crafts and activities following at JCPenney and Macy's Courts from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Drawings and giveaways from all gift cards and Turtle Bay memberships. Mark your calendar and join the fun. Find the cheer this year when you celebrate and shop at the Mount Shasta Mall. Give a little magic.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Hey, this is Carl and the Bot. Bob has something he wants to say.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, heard right here Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 on KCNR. It is the Thanksgiving weekend, and we want to wish every one of our listeners a great holiday with family and friends. We'll be playing best of episodes on Thursday and Friday, so be sure to tune in while you're getting over the turkey. It's KCNR 1460. If you're thinking about it, we'll talk about it.
And we invite you to stay tuned now for today's Best Of edition of Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today we'll be replaying the Wednesday morning show, Wednesday, November 26th, the day before Thanksgiving. So if you hear phone numbers, do not call, but do on this Black Friday morning. Enjoy this encore performance of the Best Of Free Fire Radio. Remember, you're hearing it on AM 1460 KCNR. Free Fire Radio for the North State. News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment today getting ready for Thanksgiving, but I'm sitting here with Gary Hayward, chairman of the, general manager, chairman, CEO of the Wind River Resort and Casino?
GM.
Okay, we'll go
Many GM. Hats.
Many hats you have. Hey, welcome aboard. Hey, I'm glad you're back again.
Thanks, Carl. I'm glad to be here. This is a lot of fun. Yeah. Just getting to see you guys again soon, too.
Well, you know what, we like, you know, it's more, you know, it's good being friends with people you have on the show, you know. And, of course, Maria Rosco is here, too, standing over there. She's waving, wearing an Oakland Raiders sweatshirt. When you know, the good thing about that is that you finally got a win, Oakland. Yeah, there you go. One in a row. Yeah, one in, which is, I think it's 378 days since they had their last win.
And didn't they knock the Chiefs off, which
Chiefs,
was crazy?
The Chiefs, crazy. Of all things. I mean, yeah, it was kind of scary, really, frankly. Hey, good morning. It is 7:07 in the morning. Phone line is 605-4567. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Of course, it's the day before Thanksgiving. So... Are you, I hope that's where Linda is. She's getting ready. She's been in a frenzy for about a week.
This is definitely one of my favorite holidays.
I think Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. It's a lot less stress than Christmas and others.
It's all about family.
It is. You know, yes. You kind of get people in, and everybody kind of feels good after. You get a little trip to
Not about the stuff.
Yeah, but no, it's not about the stuff. It's like a little tryptophan. What is that, tryptophan?
Tryptophan.
Is that a little bit of a little tryptophan high afterwards?
The turkey enzyme that makes you kind of like, ah. Yeah.
Anyway, I hope that's not an urban myth. So, hey, what's the weather going to be today and tomorrow?
Enjoy it while you can. Sunny and high near 67, but then tomorrow night it's going to turn November. About 50% chance of rain as we head into Friday, and then rain likely over the weekend. Mountain travel for those of you heading over the hill and through the woods and all that sort of stuff could be a little bit chancy as snow levels drop to around 3,000 feet by Sunday. Right now in Reading, 40 degrees. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Our customers are warm friends at Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated with senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793, Chuck and Judy Kinney, good people. Gary, you know, I just you can't help but notice on the in what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's the fact is that the decision went against it showed a great deal of courage, because frankly, I thought the grand jury of 12 people might have been intimidated by all the by all the media threats and the threats of what was going
to
happen.
Well, they had to be. I mean, with everything that had been going on prior to and during, they had to be, you know, a little fearful of what was going
to
happen.
There had to be.
Either way.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, because you had sides lining up over the shooting of Michael Brown.
Some people call the O.J. effect.
Well, yeah. And it wasn't just in Ferguson; it became nationwide. But they came back I said yesterday, and I misspoke. I think I said it was a unanimous verdict, but they don't know. They'll never say what the how many people, how many of the jurors, but it has to be at least 9, and that they went through. This was the most unusual grand jury, because instead of just hearing evidence from one side, they heard evidence from all sides. All the people came in, all the witnesses came in to spoke to him. And the district attorney, as he says, witnesses recanted what they said that they saw.
Right.
There was no, he was not knocked down and then shot 6 times in the back. There were no shots like that. I saw a photo that I thought, went across the internet that said this is what Wilson looked like. You know, his face was all just torn up.
Saw that as well.
That wasn't a true photo, though. I didn't realize that.
Right.
I didn't realize that till later. That wasn't a true photo, but people put out on that one too. So the whole thing, there was a lot of spinning going on. But then the riots started and burning. Obama said something yesterday. I don't always agree with everything the president says, or even most of it. But he was right. He said, "How does destroying," and I'm paraphrasing here, "how does destroying your neighborhood, your local stores, and putting locals out of business work for you?"
Right.
I mean, how's that change things? How does destruction and rioting and burning and looting change things? It doesn't. It just strengthens the resolve of some people,
right,
to come down even harder. The only change you're going to make is at the polls.
Exactly. And it's true. And I mean, all that's going to do is make the divide much greater. It's going to create more animosity between different groups. Instead, they need to get to the polls. They need to start speaking up. They need to get out there, and they need to start being involved in their communities as much as possible, and getting into things that are productive, that they can get their voice out there to be heard,
Well, the majority of the neighbor of the of Ferguson is Black, African American,
right.
And yet most of the police force is white. I mean, they have African American officers on there who are right in the middle of the fight too. But they're the elected leaders in Ferguson are mostly white. So it's right. You're exactly right. Is if you're going to change things, and if you want your voice heard, you've got to do it at the polls, or you change these things.
Right.
And that's
get involved. I mean,
you have to get involved.
Look at our community. You can sit back and you can say, okay, I don't like the homeless issue. I don't like the crime issue. I don't like it's all those issues. But until you get involved, you can sit there and talk about it all day long.
Yeah, and it makes no difference. And today we're having on, this is great, today we're having on Silas Lyons comes on at 7:30. I love having Silas on. He is such a good humor, though. I just pick at him every chance I get. And because I love having a paper in a community. That's one of the
Me too.
That's one of the force multipliers is a paper. And then April LaFrance is coming on.
Awesome.
The woman behind the Safe City Project. And I know that you're interested in this a great deal, and I know that's something that everybody wants to help out with.
Yeah.
Hey, Bad Bob, with the night sleeping, you came in like about 3 weeks ago and you said, the heat has gone away.
Oh, yes.
And your sleeping is so much better.
Yeah, when it's a little bit cooler, you sleep much, at least I do. I hibernate.
I'm not even going to touch that one. Okay, yeah, well, what's Brenda think about that when you're hibernating there? I mean, you mean just lay there and that's it? You like curl up in a little ball?
House could fall down around my ear. Well, when in my very youthful years, I was on an aircraft carrier. And once you learn to sleep on an aircraft carrier, it's like Marines learn to sleep. Stuff going on all around them, but a certain noise will bring them right out of it.
I can sleep with outgoing artillery going 155s, but you get a AK-47 coming back the other way. It just wakes everybody up. You know, I don't understand that. But you know how you can really give yourself a real great gift to sleep this year, of course, is with your Sleep Number bed. It's the ultimate gift, a gift of sleeping well every night. And now, Linda and I have had our Sleep Number bed for a year, and it is just outstanding. My sleep number setting is 45. You can go all the way up to 100, of course. But then Linda's is 40 because you have a dual-air technology, which allows each of you to sleep in a different firmness. And you can change it. And this is the other thing that's just been introduced by Sleep Number is the Sleep IQ technology. And what that does is it shows how it senses how you sleep. You don't have to do anything except sleep. And it senses that maybe you're moving and that it can give some ideas or send out via an app ideas about a different sleep setting number or maybe even ways of elevation of your head so that you can help with snoring and all this. All this comes out of your new Sleep IQ technology that fits on it's part of your Sleep Number bed if you want that. For 1 week only, come on in and save 50% on a Sleep Number Ultimate Limited Edition bed. So why is Sleep Number named the best bed in Consumer Reports? Why don't you go down and find out? Head on down to the Target Shopping Center. Go down and see Brian and Janice, and I promise you that once you get on that bed and once you see how it really feels, that you're not going to go anyplace else. You're going to give yourself the ultimate gift this Christmas, and that's the gift of sleep. We're going to be right back. Gary Hayward and myself will be right back after these messages.
Turtle Bay offers free admission to active duty military families. Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, Liberty on the Border, is a perfect opportunity to enjoy this perk. Starting October 11th, you can learn why the Civil War came about and the impact it still has on society today. Liberty on the Border is presented by Senator Maurice and Marianne Johannesson, supported by Best Western Plus Hilltop Inn, C.R. Gibbs American Grill, and KCNR 1460 AM Free Fire Media. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. But in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palisadro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We would like to invite you to join us December 14th at 2 o'clock for the Northern California Christmas for the Troops program, the Homeward Bound Christmas. We're going to have live music with the Lou White Band, a great barbecue, and we're going to be packing 400 boxes and sending these boxes overseas to our military personnel across the world. Please join us if you'd like to give us a call. The phone number is 222-2282. Help us make a Merry Christmas for our military personnel around the world.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
The weather outside is frightful, but the wine over on the west side is delightful. Westside Wines at 1872 Buenaventura is your new hotspot for holiday cheer. Whether you are a wine newbie or you really know your vintages, the wine educators at Westside Wines can help you find that perfect bottle. From beautiful Bordeaux to crisp Chardonnays, their rare boutique finds will surely delight you. Westside Wines wishes you a sparkling Christmas.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio on AM 1460 KCNR.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and Gary Hayward is with me this morning. It's 7:20 in the morning on the 26th of November, the day before Thanksgiving. 39 degrees out there today. I mean, I was taking Elk Killer out this morning. It was a little slippery.
Yeah, a little frosty.
Out there. I was surprised. And I thought, gosh, maybe it's time to do something I should have done like a month ago and turned off the water. Yeah, it might have something to do with it being a little slick out there. 605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at kcnr1460.com. I have some comments in here. I'm disgusted by both the actions of the Ferguson rioters and the lack of response by law enforcement. That was something else. They're saying that, you know, the National Guard was there. Where were they?
I was surprised on that when I saw the looting taking place and people just running in and out of the stores. And I thought for sure they would have made a stand on some of those issues. I didn't see much there.
Well, I think the lieutenant governor is saying we need an explanation because the National Guard was there. Why weren't they used, governor? This lieutenant governor saying it to the governor. It must be different parties.
One of the more outrageous statements I heard was on NPR. Where one of the activists was saying, oh, well, by calling out the guard and businesses daring to board up, they set the stage for this. Excuse me?
Set the stage.
Blaming the people whose businesses
that got burned out. Wow. You know, then there's protests all across the United States, too. And this was an interesting thing in New York when I saw their protests and then the fights. It was almost all white protesters fighting it out with the police. That was interesting.
And I saw quite a few. Yeah. I saw quite a few also in the Chicago.
In Chicago.
That too.
The Guy Fawkes mask picture, the guys leading the, of course, that's the V for Vendetta look thing, was leading the protest down in San Francisco. I mean, please.
Well, you know what? They had, you know, get the Occupy guys out there now. But you know what? Frankly, I'm glad if you're going to protest and you get equal opportunity rioting out there. So we should have equal opportunity people being arrested and all this. They shut down the Holland Tunnel. They shut down one of the Oakland freeways. It's interesting. You know, I don't know. Do you ever think we'll ever have something like that here in Redding?
I think we're a ways off from it here. I really do. But
no, do you know what happened in Redding?
Unless the homeless riot, that might happen.
Do you know what happened in our hometown? This is before your time, and you remember this, Gary, when some absolute whack jobs burned a cross on the lawn of a black family. The community of Anderson, including the police chief and every official, descended on Anderson to show solidarity for that woman and her family. It was fantastic.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. There's like no it was yesterday.
No room for that.
No, and they did away with it. You know, and I think that's what's awesome about this community.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, that's you know, that's the thing is that a community pulling together, and this is one of the things reasons we're having the people we're having on today. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on at Wind River. Besides this great event you're having next Thursday night out there with Ladybot and the Bluebirds.
That has became a highlight for us. Just so everybody knows, that's the highlight, and we're continuing to work on that event. But I will tell you what, right now, it's becoming something people are calling us about now. And people are wanting to know about, and it's just outstanding. And we can't thank Linda enough for making it happen.
Well, you know, there you go again with your vision out there, because you've been talking to us now for a year,
right?
About the vision for where Wind River Resort and Casino is going, and you're taking it there. And I'm not just—it's not just Linda; it's the whole attitude of everybody out there.
And well, and you know, it's
starting with you.
It's one of those things where we want things to continue to improve, but we want things to be what our guest want it to be. And I tell you what, I welcome people to let us know when things aren't as satisfactory to them. I want that, because that's the only way we can change.
That's right. If you if you're complacent, you're going to get overtaken.
Yeah.
And the fact is that the only way you're going to get better is to take the criticism and take it to heart and look at it. And some of it's not true.
Right.
As I told the story yesterday, the piece, the only these nameless bloggers that get on the paper, nameless, faceless, anonymous people, I just ignore because I have my own thoughts about them. I'm gonna have to ask Silas when he comes in. But one of them wrote something and it said, "I met Carl Bott once. He didn't seem that he didn't strike me as being that intellectual."
Oh
and,
my goodness!
And I thought. Oh, and I cut that out and kept that. No, because who knows who that person was? I mean, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, and maybe that day I was off, or maybe that she's just, or he is that just much smarter that I seem like a dunce. But it's good to have that. You know, I put it on my mirror and I look at that, you know, when I'm getting puffed up here on because we do something right. And I go, well, you know what? There's still people out there that think I'm an
idiot. We've all got our critics. We've all got our critics. First time I met Carl Bott.
Braided knuckles, you know, on the ground.
Yeah. Oh, that was, yeah, I've heard those. Well, you know, anyway.
First time I met Carl Bott, he beat me at a pizza making contest. That was the first time I met Carl Bott. I thought he was outstanding, personally.
Well, I took a lot of heat over that one, too, you know. I made it half meat, half veg. And what's the matter? Can't make a decision? And I thought, oh. I was just trying to please people.
You want it straight up. You
did straight it. Up. There you go. It's sausage, hamburger. It's all meat. Anyway, so what's happening here at the end of the year?
This is the fun time of the year at Wind River because a lot of people have their events there. A lot of people are. This is the time when they just relax, lay back, have a good time. We got a lot of a lot of parties down there. Really fun parties. And it's just a great time. Everybody's in a good spirit and they're wrapping up the year. And this is my favorite time of the year.
It is, you know, and I'm glad to hear that, you know, because y'all are quickly becoming the place to go to, you know, so it's actually difficult, starting to get difficult, I think, to find times to book things.
It's a safe place to go and hang out and enjoy yourself, you know, and we always like to remind people that we always have that safe ride. So, you know, that's something we offer all the time.
Take people home?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you know, you've said that before, but that's right. If anybody needs to get home from Wind River, y'all will take them home.
Yeah, any time of the day when they're there, when they're hanging out. Of course, we have the hotel they can stay at. But now, if they still want to come and hang out, they had a few, and they don't want to get in their car, which is good. We provide that ride for them.
That's great. That's great. Free?
Yes, totally free.
Free.
Yeah.
You know, that's even better. You know, that's the other thing, too, is now you can go out there and have a great night at a great party. You know, if somebody has a party there and it's midnight, you know, and then because you can go dance and all these, just spend the night.
We have our Christmas party this time of the year, too, and we encourage people to have a good time. It's what it's about. It's not the night for people to get up and do speeches and all that stuff. It's a night to just enjoy each other and wrap the year up.
Well, you know, I think the big time of the year for everybody else is to watch the review of when y'all are out there dancing.
We do start it off with that,
and that's the for the what? Oh, yeah, the community fair. Yeah.
That's Maria's favorite.
Maria, hop on here real quick. Tell us about that real quick.
We got so we just did our last grant running. We gave over 24 organizations $100,000. So we're those guys are in the running. So we have about 40 organizations. One of them will receive a $10,000 gift on Saturday, March 7th themed. We're bringing the 80s back. So back to the 80s.
I know. You know, we've already gone through, you know, like we have, you know, we here at KCNR throw ourselves into this. But then Gary and his group up there dancing, and somehow it always ends up with their shirts off. I'm not sure how that works. I don't. Maria, are you the one that, that does that, or choreographs that?
Well, I think this year we're going to start him off without his shirt on, and then that way everybody can get there.
Okay. Right. Anyway, but then another $10,000 that night is handed out to a specific charity. It is so great. You know, everybody has such a super good time, and then again, another nonprofit, another organization that's out to help people gets a big check that night. And it's veterans groups, anybody that's out there. Great. Okay.
It's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to your costume this
year.
Oh,
yeah. You know what? We're in a battle over it right now because I've already said, no, I don't want to do that one. And then I had a great idea that Maria put her head down on the table and said, no, don't even go there. So, hey, we're going to be right back with Silas Lyons. I saw Silas walk through the area. So, Silas Lyons is in the building, the editor of the Record Searchlight. Gary Hayward, Carl Bott, we'll be right back.
I came to dance. You. I hit the floor cause that's my plans. You. I'm wearing all my favorite brands.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
For Italian families, the holiday means food, fun, and familia. This holiday season, Kathy and I would like to invite you to celebrate your holiday with us here at Mary's Pizza Shack. And for a limited time, get $10 in Mary's money when you buy a $50 gift card. Or go big, get $20 in Mary's money with a $100 purchase. Share your homemade comfort food at your office or in your home with Mary's Party Trays. See our catering menus or call for a complete list of menu items available. Call Mary's Pizza Shack in Reading at 247-1110 or in our Anderson location at 378-1110. Mary's Pizza Shack, homemade for the holidays.
Happy holidays from our family to yours.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Happy Black Friday. You're listening to an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR. So if you hear phone numbers, please do not call.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Bob. Linda's on assignment this morning getting ready for Thanksgiving. I mean, she's on the move already, but Gary Hayward, general manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino, is with me. Good morning, Gary.
Glad to be back. Thanks, Carl.
This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Head on out there. It's 39 degrees. Go out there and get those pumpkin lattes. Get all those nice warm drinks at very reasonable prices. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the state. All of this at Tobacco and Brew. Veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, and Joe and Shelley are just outstanding people who support this community. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Okay, we're back, and Silas Lyons is in the studio.
Hi, Carl.
How are you doing, Silas?
I'm good. You're good. It's good to be here. Happy Thanksgiving, Dayhead.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You too, Gary.
Thank you.
The event we wanted to talk about when I talked to you, of course, is the how the Commerce Department gave a $1.6 million grant to Turtle Bay when it was first being built. And then somewhere back in April, everybody found out that it was going to have a 74% clawback of the funds, they said.
Of the appraised value if there was a sale of the land.
Their first line in it was the sale of the Turtle Bay Museum, which kind of means is that they didn't really understand what was being sold because it's Turtle Bay Museum, of course, was not being sold.
Yeah, and I think that's the city, you know, in reading through the emails back and forth between the city and the federal government, the Economic Development Administration, the EDA, that they were corresponding with. And it seemed like that was one of the things the city was arguing, as well as also saying, well, what is 74% of what? It's the appraised value of the land that it'd be assessed against. And so,
and I think according also is that it's the percentage of the land that's being sold, because it used to be, I think it was 56 acres to begin with. And then so this is
right.
Would be like 14, but
14.6 or whatever.
What Patrick Jones is saying is that they can bring their own appraiser in and say it's worth anything they want, which is the problem, which is another problem.
They have to have a nationally accredited appraiser. The way that I read the letter from the EDA, so that you would assume that they would get somebody who was professional, competent. I don't know that you'd have an appraiser come in and say like there's some outrageous value to that land. But I think that the point that if I'm not jumping ahead of you here, I think the point that people really were sensitive to, and we brought up in the editorial is look, I mean, the Measure B argument was about a whole lot of things, but one of those things was the sale of city property and whether the taxpayers got the right value for that sale, right?
Yeah.
So if there's something that brings into question the total amount of money that the city is going to get for selling that property, because they have to take this 74% of something and give it to the feds, then that's relevant, right? That should be part of the discussion at some point during the campaign. The newspaper, and I should be careful to make the distinction here, the newsroom has no part in our editorial positions. But as the editor, I serve on the editorial board, and I do have a part in those decisions. The newspaper supported Measure B all the way through. But we also said when this came to light, look, we've always stood for transparency, and we believe that this is something that the council in particular, the full council, should have been aware of a lot sooner. And obviously the city attorney, Rick Duvernay, is taking issue with saying that. But, I think we stand by that position.
So who would have known about it? And it makes me wonder why it didn't get on the table, because to me that transparency would have really helped the issue more.
You know, if it had been discussed back in April when the letter was first received by the city, I mean, I'm guessing here, I'm speculating, but my guess is it would have been one of all kinds of things that were discussed all the way through the campaign, and right. The chances of it actually changing the results of that election probably pretty slim, but right. It would have been part of that discussion. And I think what Mr. Duvernay said in his memo that he released last Friday to Councilmember Cadd and more broadly, sent to the media and that said, look, the Record Searchlight didn't do its job in asking for this information at the time, and very pointedly also said, Councilmembers Cadd and Jones, you didn't ask for it either, and so we made a determination that it wasn't material. And that we didn't have to raise our hands and tell you about it. And that was, if I'm not reading it wrong, that was the essence of his memo.
So, go ahead.
Well, you know, that's essentially is exactly what he said. And he said the opponents, all this was out there if people wanted to find it. If they wanted to go back to 95. Well, things I'm starting to hear, though, and documents that people are starting to find, is that, and they said it was a small thing. Yet it seems like by a number of emails that were flowing back and forth, it was bigger than they said. Mm-hmm. And what was, and the true reason, I mean, Misty knew about it, but Misty really couldn't remember. Even though Jenny, by the way, Jenny had a good article in the paper today.
Thanks. Yeah, there was a pretty extensive follow-up
about
today's follow-up.
But man, Misty, you know, because as soon as this thing broke, and we knew about it that weekend, I called. Of course, we had Rick Bassetti on the mayor on, and DuVernay and Jones, and I talked also to Misty. When did you know about this, Misty? And Misty, as she was in the paper, she didn't exactly remember when, because it wasn't something somebody sat down and briefed her on. It was one of those things you kind of like, maybe Kurt Starman told her about it, maybe, you know.
But if I'm remembering the story from today's paper correctly, and I don't have it right in front of me, so I'm going off memory, but I'm pretty sure that Missy said that Kurt told her about it after the election, right?
After the election.
Right. Well, so she would have not been somebody who knew about it early on. But I do think there's been questions all along. Jenny pointed this out in her story that council members Kat and Jones have felt, I think, at various times that they were receiving less information than others were. And you know, that's their argument to make, not mine.
Right.
But that was one of the issues that she raised in the story.
Well, I think it's probably true that there's things that people are released, but you know, because of the Brown Act, you can't talk to them offline and say, hey, this is going on. But I think the question is, and we agree, our position also, or my position, I mean, here is that it was a minor thing, and that it could go away in June, the whole thing, but. It should have been somewhere somebody should have said something to the other two city council members, because Francie's answer, of course, is, well, we're giving a lot of stuff.
And she you know, she says that she remembers the original grant from when she was on the board of the supervisors at the time, and she remembers the original grant coming through. But it had to be a lot of details to remember, and to remember that there was a 20-year clawback clause that was going to expire in June of 2015 is, you know, I mean, that's where it gets really specific. I mean, next June, this is not an issue.
Right.
Next June, it's all over. 20 years has passed. The city has the land free and clear. There's no restrictions from the federal government. They can't take back a penny. I think it's kind of strange, actually, that they can take back the full amount right up until the last day this, you know, as if there's no depreciation or anything over time. But that's the way it's set up. Right. And the other option is that they can maybe get McConnell Foundation substituted as the grantee instead of the city. And in that case, McConnell would say, this is who we are. We certify with a bunch of legal documents, and we're here to support Turtle Bay as well. It's your original intention with the grant, so there's no problem, then the feds sign off on it, everything's fine. Right. But what they didn't know was that will happen. They can't even today guarantee that will happen. And that's why we felt like it was something that should have been made public to the council, and by extension, that would have made it public to everybody else. Right. We would have all been talking about it.
Oh, yeah. As soon as it gets released to one of them, it goes everywhere.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Red, good morning. You have a question? Or a comment?
There's just a couple of things that I would like to point out. You know, City Attorney DuVernay says, well, if the public had requested the information, we would have given it to them. Well, the public did request the information. The No on Measure B guys and Revolt guys requested all the pertinent documents regarding this land deal, and they were not provided with this.
That's a very interesting point. I haven't seen that Public Records Act request, so I
was told this also by Councilman Jones. He said that a lot of, you know, that they had requested everything. DuVernay said that it's been on his desk for the whole time. So the question is if it did come in, why wasn't that released? And was it not released because of political reasons, or was it because, again, you know, Rick Bassetti was very adamant that he thought this was absolutely minor. They'd already been working with these things. And it, you know,
there's two other things too. On the June 25th, and this whole thing goes away, may not necessarily be true, because there is intent to sell the land for a purpose other than what is beneficial to the Turtle Bay Museum prior to June 25th. It's known as intent. So the federal government could actually make the case that the intent existed before that. They can still go take the money back.
What's that? Can you just share what that's based on in the law?
I can get a hold of that and get it to you, Silas. I certainly can.
Okay, I'd be interested in how intent might play into that. But again, you'd have to also show that McConnell truly plans to acquire the property for purpose not beneficial to Turtle Bay, and you have Turtle Bay very much saying
that determination.
That's the whole point.
The McConnell Foundation acquiring that land is not beneficial to Turtle Bay, and the clawback is in effect. That determination has already been made. And as for substituting McConnell for the city of Reading as a nonprofit, that has already been denied three different ways by the EDA.
How has that been done?
Well, they've tried to substitute McConnell for the city of Reading three times already, and the EDA has already denied that. That's in the email.
Is that's in the EDA?
Well, there's a distinction made in the emails between the informal correspondence and the formal letter of determination. And the informal correspondence was with a woman who apparently is a 26-year employee who told them. And this is part of the reason I think they should have disclosed it. I mean, she basically said, "I'm not changing my mind." I mean, in those emails, that was the essence of what she said. But they did make the point that an actual determination is made by their legal department, and it's a pretty formal process.
And that hasn't been done.
And I don't know that that's been done.
Yeah, that hasn't been done yet.
It has been done. That's what everybody keeps saying about this. The EDA has made the determination that the clawback is in effect because it is not of beneficial use to Turtle Bay for the land sale. That's absolutely been done. The EDA has made that determination.
Okay. Well, I will take that. I'll take that on advisement, and certainly we'll follow up.
Okay.
Okay, Red. Red, thanks a lot.
Red does a lot of research on this.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the question that, you know, that where Duvernay's comments rang true, and I'm going to try to say this without being too defensive, is, you know, I think it's, and I'm being dead serious here. I'm not being sarcastic. I think it's wonderful if the city attorney truly believes that we should be doing more investigative journalism.
No, I agree.
And I will tell you that having been, you know, working on this stuff and affiliated with the city and been in litigation with them over public records before, that's a change of attitude. So if the city attorney truly believes that we should be asking for more records and doing more investigative journalism, I welcome that advice. I think that's fantastic, and we'll do our best to comply with it. The point is we should have asked for any and all. We should have made a number of any and all public records requests that had to do with this issue. And we should have asked them much sooner on who was on the negotiating team and asked for any and all correspondence between those folks. And, you know, I chalk that up to learning. I think that is something the newspaper should do the next time around.
Okay. Hey, our guest is Silas Lyons. Gary Hayward and I are here together here the day before Thanksgiving. Silas Lyons, Record Searchlight editor, and is here. We're talking about, of course, the EDA and the clawback. We've got people on the line here, and then toward the end of the segment, I'd like to talk about Record Searchlight and where you guys are looking at for next year.
All right.
Okay, hey, we'll be right back.
Howdy, North State football fans. Nate Abarea here. What a season it's been here in the North State, and we got one more game for you. It's the D2 Northern Section Championship. This Saturday night, the reigning Kings, Reading's own Enterprise Hornets, host the Pleasant Valley Vikings of Chico. Reading Kia pregame show at 6:30, kickoff at 7. It's Enterprise and Pleasant Valley, Saturday night, on the North State's radio home for local football, KCNR, 1460.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and Gary Hayward. Linda is here in the studio. We've got a full studio today. It is the 26th of November, the day before Thanksgiving. It's 39 degrees out there. It's going to be a nice day, but I think we're going to get a little rain starting tomorrow. 605-4567 is our phone number. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. You know what? It's getting close to Christmas. So it's time to go out and buy those Christmas presents for those special people. As Linda says, you can never have too many guns or too many diamonds. And she is
diamonds on guns.
Yeah, diamonds are guns. And so not only is there a huge sale going on 6 hour pistols this week, he's also has on sale all types of long guns and pistols. And at very fair prices, he prides himself on having what the customer wants at fair prices. John Bastiani and his crew there. Give him a call at 222-8222. Again, Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. Our guest, Gary, and I are here. We're welcoming Silas Lyons, the editor of the Record Searchlight. We're discussing the clawback provision on the land sale to McConnell Foundation, and now this is kind of like blown up in the air. And about the sale of land and who should have known about it, the Record Searchlight has a front page article this morning kind of gathering everything in from Jenny. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Carl?
We're peachy here.
Morning, Terry.
Peachy's always good. Anyway, yeah, good article in the paper. I just had a couple of questions. First of all, it's nice to know that somebody finally explained to Mr. Duvernay the difference between an initiative and a referendum. Glad you guys pointed that out, which is a little scary that an attorney wouldn't know that. But I think the thing is that...
We'll come back to that and kind of give the backstory. But yeah, go ahead.
And good job on that. But the thing is, too, is that, you know, what I find interesting is the Shasta Lantern, which I will say I do not have any affiliation with, that new newspaper that's starting, is getting all this information and really doing some investigative reporting. It'd be nice to see a little bit more of that out of the Record Searchlight rather than opinion. How about some reporting? That'd be good. And I don't mean that really as a criticism. It just seems as if this article should have come out a while ago. Yeah, Record Searchlight probably should have dove into this. And if anybody's ever tried to get information from the city of Reading, maybe what we ought to do is go in there with a microphone and just, you know, a citizen on the street with a camera and see how long it really takes you to get information or if you can get it. The other thing is Ms. MacArthur said she didn't have a memory of how she heard about the EDA grant, but then she, a little while later, I guess it came back to her that Mr. Starman, who on the Sunday program had said that he didn't know whether or not Missy knew or not. Apparently, I guess he just remembered on when you guys interviewed him that he had brought it up to Missy. So, you know, that's two that knew. And, you know, really and truly, I really think that the Record Searchlight should go after the emails and any correspondence between the city staff and also the council itself to see if there's any emails that are pertinent. I'm just really kind of surprised that stuff isn't going on.
Well, thanks, Terry. If I can go back to the very beginning of your comment, just real briefly, you mentioned the issue of the initiative versus the referendum.
Yeah, the difference between
and
the
that,
two.
And that was in a memo that was a confidential internal memo between Duvernay and the city council that we obtained. And it was the point number one as he was explaining to the council why they couldn't accept the Shuffleburger offer at this point, it wasn't worth discussing it. And the point number one was that there had been an initiative that had passed and that they couldn't review that decision. Well, in fact, what passed was a referendum.
That's exactly and right.
And,
good job on
and that. That is an important difference.
Hugely important.
And when Jenny Espino, our City Hall reporters who we're talking about here, when Jenny went back to Mr. Duvernay yesterday, he acknowledged that difference and said that if he had written that, which he did in that memo,
he said if I referred to it somewhere in the as an initiative, that was an error. If I did, he did not admit it.
Yeah, it was his. We have the memo obviously in our office.
Yeah, I mean,
it was the first point out of four that he made in that memo. So that is certainly you know.
I guess the
again
thing is,
a relevant
when you
issue
talk about getting information from from the city. Why isn't it the Record Searchlight? And maybe somebody's already done this. Maybe you'll find out about that. But maybe somebody's already gone in there, tried to get information, and basically has been turned down or stonewalled. Again, it's the type of thing where if we don't have a transparency, as you have said, and I agree with you, from our local government. It's basically the same thing that we're getting from the government in the United States, that the people want one thing. They're against Obamacare, et cetera, et cetera. But the government does what they want. And I would submit to you that's what a lot of this looks like. I'm just a little surprised that other people like the Shasta Lantern are coming up with all this information and discussing it. And the Record Searchlight is, you know, a day late and a dollar short. And one other quick thing, and that is that, you know, as we look at this type of thing going on, where do we start drawing the line and saying, hey, you know, we really do need to be looking into these types of things. We really do need to understand that, you know, that these people do work for the people.
Oh, okay. I appreciate the comments. Just a real quick response on the City of Reading and Public Record Act request. My first experience with that was pretty soon after I started this job in 2007, and we ended up suing the city for records related to emails between employees. And there were high-level city employees who were basically having affairs with other staff members. There was a lot of porn flying around, and there was, you know, stuff that shouldn't have been going on in City Hall. Mr. Duvernay vigorously defended the city against having to release any of those records. We won the case. The city had to pay us tens of thousands of dollars in legal bills, and it was a fairly definitive moment in our relationship, certainly, because I feel like since that time, and I have to give the city a little bit of credit here, we do make public record act requests whenever we feel like there's information that we need and we're not getting voluntarily, but we also get more information voluntarily than we used to. So,
Terry. Thanks a lot, Terry. We got other people in the line. We got to give them a chance too. Thanks a lot for your phone call. Okay. Gary Cadd, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning,
hey,
Gary.
First of all, the initiative referendum really needs to be looked into, because that was the closed session item that I moved off a closed session and wanted an open session. And I have asked the city manager to put that on the coming agenda on December the 2nd, and I was told that they might try to accommodate me was the answer. But the thing I wanted to bring up with Silas, there's another issue that needs to be written about in the paper. The unfunded pensions that has been articles all up and down the state, and we have unfunded pensions here in the city of Reading that I've been working on for over a year now, and have information on it, and I have given it to Jenny, but I've never seen any article in the paper, and I just want to ask Art Silas, when is the paper going to step up with this tremendously important issue?
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. I guess I would say I don't know about the specific story that you've talked about with Jenny, but we will continue to cover the pension and the unfunded pension issues at City Hall. We certainly agree that it's really important.
Okay. Well, good. Okay. Wow, we got like 3 minutes left. Probably the last time I'm talking to you this year. Gary, I mean, you know, we get into this. People are really fired up about this issue, and you know that.
I'm glad they are. It's a question of transparency. So that warms my heart.
Yeah, and it does, because, you know, one of the things we said, and, you know, and we've talked about it, is that, you know, if it had been brought up back in April, it would have been a non-issue.
Well, and for it to be referred to as minor, that they thought it was a minor issue, I don't understand how you could think that. And what was awesome about what Silas did say, and I want to commend him for this, is he said that this was a learning experience for them and that they will take this and probably ask for more later. But it's awesome that you just admitted that. Why can't the city just say, it wasn't as minor as we thought? Mm-hmm. We should have released it.
Should have been part of the conversation.
You know, I think people, and if you do that, I mean, of course, there's some people you're never going to please. They're just going to keep hammering and hammering and hammering. But if you do that, if you take the constructive criticism and you take it to heart and you bring out there and say, hey, you know what? We should have done that. You know, and now we're looking at it and we understand it. At the time, this is a decision we made, but, you know, we're looking back at it now, and perhaps we could have done, you know, probably we should have done it differently.
I think there's always, you know, we do recaps and postmortems all the time, and this was, and I want to point out that Jenny probably covered Measure B and the issues around Measure B with more depth and more authority than really anybody else who was looking at that issue objectively, and she did a phenomenal job of doing that. That said, I don't ever think there's not room to do something a little deeper, a little better.
Sure.
And so I thought that that was a valid point that Duvernay made. I don't think it gets him off the hook for not doing his job as it relates.
I think it needs to go out to everybody on that as the city attorney. I mean, he's representing all of us. He said it was the majority. Well, no, you know what? It's all of us. That's what he's getting paid for. Anyway, hey, we don't have a chance to talk about, but happy Thanksgiving, Silas.
Thank you.
And have a great time. And tell all your people happy Thanksgiving for us. We'll try and get you back on in December and talk about next year. We'll
be
right back. Gary Hayward and I will be right back after this, after these messages with April LaFrance.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Stay tuned for Hour 2 on AM 1460. The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Millions of Americans left their Thanksgiving dinners yesterday to go out and do some Thanksgiving Day shopping. It's an idea that appears to be catching on. Kathy Grannis with the National Retail Federation says, in fact, according to their research, overall shoppers are ready to spend more money this year.
Gas prices are much lower, contributing to extra spending power. There's no hassle in Washington. You know, this time last year, the government had actually shut down, so consumers were, of course, very iffy about their own personal finances.
Brian Rich, meanwhile, is founder of the Boycott Black Thursday website and says some retail workers didn't have enough advance notice that they would be working on Thanksgiving Day, and that ruined some people's plans.
And sometimes those hours aren't even decided until November. A lot of the companies didn't even release their hours, and so these employees didn't even know what their schedule would be. They couldn't plan their holidays, you know, until maybe 2 weeks out.
Just a few years ago, when a handful of stores began opening late on Thanksgiving Day itself, the move was met with resistance. But according to a number of studies, it would appear the idea is, in fact, catching on with many people in America. Also at SRNNews.com, one way to ring in the Christmas season, David Richards set up 75 miles of lights to set a new record in Australia. And he told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, yes, people can look at that amazing display for free, but the real idea is to get them to contribute some money to help fight against sudden infant death syndrome.
We had a tragic loss in 2002, and SIDS and Kids Australia and ACT assisted us and assisted our family members, and we're just trying to give something back.
Meanwhile, a powerful storm in Brisbane, Australia. James Marriott spoke to the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
It's all gone, you know, so it's pretty much all destroyed, you know. Some of us have been lucky down the other end to have a few dry rooms, but, you know, for the most part, everything in the living room.
And this is SRN News.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
You've heard of Black Friday doorbuster deals. Well, don't miss Lumber Liquidators Floorbuster Deals. Get incredible discounts on your favorite floors at one-time-only prices. There's never been a better time to get a great deal on pre-finished hardwoods, hand-scraped hardwoods, gorgeous bamboo, top-quality laminates, and get 26-month special financing. Plus, get even more floorbuster discounts in our stores. The sale ends Tuesday, so these deals will not wait until after the holidays. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Some illegal immigrants could be getting retirement benefits under President Obama's immigration action.
Many illegal immigrants who apply for work permits under the president's new executive actions would be eligible for Social Security and Medicare benefits upon reaching retirement age. According to the White House, immigrants with work permits would pay into the Social Security system through payroll taxes and would have to work 10 years to become eligible for benefits. A spokesman for GOP Senator Jeff Sessions, a leading opponent of the president's executive actions, says making illegal immigrants eligible for Social Security and Medicare is an attack on working families. Greg Clugston, SRN News, Washington.
Investors will not have a whole lot of information to mull over today as they get back into the swing of trading after Thanksgiving Day off on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average opened up at 17,828, coming off a 13-point gain from Wednesday of this week, and today is just a half-trading session. The closing bell rings at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. This is SRN News. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was home for Thanksgiving after all, following her release from the hospital.
The 81-year-old jurist is expected to be back at work when the court hears its next round of oral arguments on Monday. Ginsburg was rushed to MedStar Washington Hospital Center late Tuesday after experiencing discomfort during exercise with a personal trainer. She's had a series of health problems, including colorectal cancer in 1999, pancreatic cancer in 2009. Rich Thomason, SRN News, Washington.
Police in Austin, Texas say a gunman fired more than 100 rounds at the Mexican consulate, city police headquarters, and other downtown buildings before he was killed early today. Police Chief Art Acevedo said a police sergeant shot at the gunman, who was about 50 years of age, outside the police station. Acevedo says it's not clear if police fatally shot the suspect or if he took his own life. More details at SRNNews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
And you're listening to a replay of Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. This rebroadcast of the program from Wednesday, November 26th. So if you hear phone numbers, please don't call. Have a great Black Friday from all of us here at AM 1460 KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning. It is 8:05 in the morning here, the 26th of November, the day before Thanksgiving. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Carl Bott here, and, of course, Gary Hayward, the general manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino, is with me. Gary?
Super glad to be back.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you're here the day before Thanksgiving. You know, it's good to have friends around. And we've had kind of a been lively this morning.
Oh, yeah. It's been fun. Yeah.
Hey, Bad Bob, what's the weather look like for today and Thanksgiving and the whole weekend? Because some people are going to actually take 4 days off.
Well, the weather travel starts out good. Sunny skies today, high in the mid-60s. That's going to continue through tomorrow. By tomorrow night, those clouds will move in and chances of rain starting on Friday, which will go through the weekend. Snow levels dropping down could be as low as 3,000 feet. So if you go over the mountains into Oregon or maybe over to Nevada or something for the holidays, be aware of that, that conditions in the mountains could be a little bit rough. Right now, we've got 42 degrees in Redding. This report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Our customers are warm friends. Senior and Veterans Discounts, of course, it's locally owned and operated. Give them a call, 365-3793, Chuck and Junie Kinney. There. I need to throw out this one more time, even though that it's about, the month's about over, was that Dr. Christy Davis, an optometrist here in town, was offering free comprehensive eye exams for all veterans currently serving, honorably discharged, or retired. All you had to do was have proof of service here. And I'm going to give her number one more time, 222-7271. And the reason I'm doing that, please write that down, 222-7271. If you're not getting your eyes done, at least give Christy a call and tell her thanks, because she's doing this out of the goodness of her heart, because her dad's a Vietnam veteran. And she's doing it because it was the right thing
That's
to
awesome.
Do.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, way awesome.
Well, yeah, you know, you're a veteran, and thank you for your service.
You too, Carl.
Well, it's we both, you were in the Air Force for, how long were you in?
About 6 years with reserve,
With reserve time, but you were on active duty and came back home to get into the kind of the family business.
Yes, I did.
I guess you could say. do you ever regret going in?
Never. Never. It was the best experience of my life.
Yeah. I find that, you know, people that they don't, you know, I've run into so many people, especially when you're in uniform, that, and they come up and they say, you know, gosh, I was in Vietnam. And it's, I didn't realize it then, but how much I really enjoyed it. And if I'd stayed in, I could have, you know, they had all these things. But back then, a lot of times, you don't think about it.
No.
So, yeah, it was a surprise to me. All of a sudden, I was at like 18 years. And I'm like, oh, how'd that happen?
Yeah,
snuck up on me.
The experiences associated with her just forever.
Yeah. Forever.
So
And we're here with somebody who's had great experiences and is giving great experiences to the city of Redding and really all of Shasta County. April LaFrance, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, well, you know, you were here a couple weeks ago before the town hall meeting.
I was.
It's a Safe City project.
I was. Thanks for having me before, taking the risk of not knowing what we were going to come out with at that point, had we come in. So
you wouldn't tell me. You know, and I said, so what's it going to be? You know, she was really nice about it. She goes, well, I really don't want to tell you. No, what she said was, is, hey, we're saving that. And I understand that. I understand that.
As you can see from the media attention that happens after, we really wanted to be able to present those things in context with the research and information around them rather than one line.
Well, tell us a little bit about you first, April, for people, because now that your name has come out there and they go, well, who is she? Well, who are you?
So I guess I would say, first of all, that I'm a wife and a mom. I'm also a business owner. I come from a long line of entrepreneurs, fourth generation entrepreneur in my family. I've had several businesses through my young life. Here in Reading, we have a couple local companies that we're really proud of. Woodstone Construction is one of those companies. We do residential and commercial remodeling projects primarily, a little new construction as well. Then I also have a house staging company called We Stage It. So we do that, and I originally from way out on the East Coast, New England.
Really?
Yeah. Been here for 5 years, and after the first winter in Reading, my heart was warmed.
I'll bet.
You guys don't get
what
snow
happened
out
after
here.
The first summer.
Yeah,
we took a great vacation to the East Coast during the summer.
That's smart.
Very smart. The Safe City Project, how'd you come up with this?
Well, you know, that actually came out of talking to some community leaders about Reading's future in a way of talking about increasing economy and business and branding, honestly. Had been vacationing in Bend, Oregon, and saw so many similarities with Bend, but Bend's booming. And feeling like, wow, my city so has this potential. And I kept bumping into this question, well, what are you going to do about crime? April, those are great thoughts for Reading, but what are you going to do about crime? And I said, I don't want to do anything about crime. Let's let other people do things about crime, and let's talk about building the city. And it was, well, if Reading is going to become this amazing place that you're talking about, you have to address that foundational issue with crime. And so it turned into, you know what? What if I gather some smart citizens together and we actually do take the attention we normally pour into our businesses and we point it at the city for a 3-month period and see if we can come up with some ideas that would help.
What I was most impressed with was the fact that finally someone's talking about some vision for the city. You don't hear about that. You don't hear about that during elections. You don't hear about that from the city officials. We never talk about that. And I thought it was great discussion on some vision for how we can improve our community.
Well, thank you. One of the really beautiful things that came out after the event were people that have lived in Reading for decades contacted me and us and said, I have never been so proud of my city. I have never had so much hope for Reading, which is interesting because we were talking about crime. And we were talking about struggles that our community has. But laced in with that, you know, what I said at the beginning of the presentation was, many of us gather because we're frustrated with crime, but the real reason we're here is because we do believe Reading's valuable. It's worth going after those problems.
It's worth fighting for.
Difficult as they may be, it's worth working through the issues because we believe we live in a valuable place. We're not forced to live here. We've chosen to be here. And so let's build a better future. And when you looked around that room, you know, 1,000-something people that were gathered there, and you saw the, you know, the movers and the shakers, the decision makers, the influential, the people who love this city, we're a powerful community.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of us to say, yeah, you know what, we do want to address these issues. We have the ability to do it. I really believe we have the ability to do it. And so excited that the community's talking about it now. And, you know, Record Searchlight is vetting the solutions, each one. That's been great to see that the community is talking about it.
Our guest is April LaFrance, who's heading up the Safe City Project right here in town. Gary Hayward and myself are here and going to be learning a lot more about it after we take this break. And this portion of the show has been brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. For over 20 years, with outstanding service to all makes and models of heating and air conditioning. And if it's 42 degrees now, And about another, week or 2 weeks is going to be 39 degrees. And have you had your system looked at? Have you had your filters changed? Have you had your air ducts changed, looked at? Have you had the thermostat looked at? Make sure that's working. Is the air coming out where it should be? All of this can be done by Alliance Heating and Air, and they treat you like a family. You have an emergency? Well, then 7 days a week, 24-hour service is what they offer. Alliance Heating and Air, we use them. Bad Bob uses them, and they're great. I can't say anything negative at all about Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. We're going to be right back. Gary Hayward, Carl Bott.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
The countdown to Christmas is on. Find your perfect Christmas at the amazing shops downtown. Carousel on Yuba Street is brimming with stylish designer clothes, beautiful handmade jewelry, and artwork made by local artists and fabulous scented candles. Get your girlfriends together and throw a private party for a fun way to celebrate this holiday season. That's Carousel at 1555 Yuba Street. Unique stores and more in beautiful downtown Reading. It's Christmas in the making.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. We are all blessed to live in such a beautiful and bountiful area of California. If your home was built before the early 1990s, chances are that many of your water-using fixtures in your home do not meet today's strict water-conserving codes or standards. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at www.wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Look for Wallner online or in the Smart Yellow Pages.
A little holiday magic can go a long way, especially when it comes to shopping. Online superstores just don't have the cheer and warmth you need when winter kicks in and the to-do lists get long. But there's one place that really celebrates the season. Mount Shasta Mall's 80 stores and services help you give with confidence, and all the special seasonal events make sure you can enjoy some signature holiday magic. Charity Trail of Trees and Family Dynamics presents Storytime with Santa this Saturday, December 6th at the food court beginning at 9:30 a.m. A free book to the first 200 children donated by First Five Shasta. Milk and cookies will be served. Crafts and activities following at JCPenney and Macy's Courts from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Drawings and giveaways from all gift cards and Turtle Bay memberships. Mark your calendar and join the fun. Find the cheer this year when you celebrate and shop at the Mount Shasta Mall. Give a little magic.
You're listening to an encore performance of Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl and Linda Bott and Linda. And while Linda's in the studio, my partner here today is Gary Hayward, who is the general manager of the Wind River Casino and Resort and Casino. Good morning again, buddy.
Good morning. Very honored to be back.
Well,
awesome.
We like having you here. We a lot of things happen during the breaks, of course, that when we talk about things. Our guest is April LaFrance, who is here heading up the Safe Cities Project. And we'd like to thank... You know, I know a lot of people were involved in this, April.
Yeah, a lot of people in the community.
But we want to thank you because you're the one that kind of put it together.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for thanking.
Yeah, and what we were hoping this morning is you could outline the initiatives again, and then maybe we could talk about a few of them that have that have came up since the presentation at the Civic. Some of them are a little more controversial than others, but
sure.
But it'd be nice if you could let everybody know what they were.
Okay, so you want me to run through, just kind of give you titles?
Just titles.
Okay, first one was adding a reserve police force to the city of Reading. Second one was neighborhood turnaround, basically empowering neighborhoods, neighborhood watch, stand up Reading. Third one, changes to our current code enforcement and adding a calls for service model. Fourth one, opening a binge recovery center, which is basically a legal option. Instead of taking a drunk in public to jail, you can take them to a binge recovery center. Fifth one is a community court model, which is similar to the Midtown Community Court that's been super successful around the country. Justice is swift, and it's a lot of community service involved. Renovating the jail annex, which is on Veterans Lane. That was our sixth solution. Number seven is to start a new work camp, which is similar to the conservation camp model California's been doing for 40-plus years.
Is that the Sugar Pine model?
Yes. Yeah, like Sugar Pine. Number eight, expand successful rehab and mental health counseling that's in the community. So looking at what works, actually, what has a good success rate for helping people break the cycle of addiction or improving their mental wellness and investing in those. Number nine, reclaiming spaces from illegal encampments. And we really talked about focusing on areas around parks, waterways, certain neighborhoods, areas where we want to focus our attention to deal with
eliminating illegal camps.
Yes. Yeah. Number 10, Homeward Bound, which maybe we're going to talk about that one. And the last one was a coordination of charities and faith-based organizations so that there would be some communication and collaboration and take into consideration the effect on the city overall with their different activities.
So do we start with the most controversial one that I've heard?
Let's associate
with the library.
Yeah, let's do that one. Let's start with that one.
Library was not in the list, gentlemen.
But one of the things that came up that seemed to have gotten everybody's attention was
that's the focus that you're hearing is the library. But can you explain that one a little bit more?
Sure.
Maybe?
Okay. So really, our attention was on coming up with solutions. That's what we had pitched to the Reading City Council. We're going to come up with ideas for how to reduce crime. And so those were the 11 that I just talked about. At the end of the presentation, went into an analogy to talk about City of Reading, county, everyone who's going to consider these things, please don't come back with there is no money to do these things. And gave the analogy of, you know, there's not money to protect our city would be like talking about City of Reading's an expensive house, and I'd say we don't have a front door. And if we don't have a front door, well, if it was my house, you better believe I'd come up with a way to get one. I'd pay for it. Well, what if I didn't have money? I'd sell the couch. I'd cancel cable TV, start eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I would find a way to put a front door in the house. And so that led into, please go find the funding. Here are some thoughts, some suggestions for places to look. And our hopes were to say, everything should be on the table. You should go through city-county budgets and look for ways to reallocate. If there is no extra money, look for ways to reallocate with the priority of, look at the 1,000-strong people in the room. We care about public safety. Please protect us. And so in that list was the mention of looking at the library, which is a pretty big budget item. I will say that was probably the most painful statement that I made of the entire event. You know, I had some wonderful friends in the community that immediately called me after the event. April, do you realize what this community's been through with the library? And I've lived here for 5 years. And right. I said, honestly, I don't. And so, you know, Friday morning, I was calling Peggy Olay, the director of the Library Foundation, and saying, Peggy, perhaps you've heard my name today. It's April LaFrance. And she chuckled and said, yes, I have. And so said, will you catch me up on the library? So that's kind of where we're at.
Well, I think the bummer part is all those initiatives are fantastic and awesome, I think. Some I like more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But the library issue kind of became the overlying discussion. And some of that other stuff kind of, you know, the important stuff to me, some people aren't talking about. That's why I wanted to talk to you again and say,
sure,
those are important issues that need to continue to move forward.
Definitely.
And like you said, we need to challenge our leaders in the community to start looking at things a little different. Doing it the way we've been doing it is not working. We can see what's happening to our community.
Right.
And so I think that was awesome too, because we're challenging them to get out of their box and start looking at the people who put them in office and who put them in there to make things better for everybody.
We have a comment, then we'll go to David here. Why, really, this is just nuts. Why can't the community paid staff and volunteers run the library? You know, if you've got some pretty bright people out there that can
can I weigh in on that?
Sure.
I was working in the news business when that discussion was taking place during the 90s, for those who have lived here all along. Mm-hmm. Shasta County did not have a library. It was shut down, and the reason was salaries, benefits,
right,
health care, retirement, and that total could not be paid. So when the new library was built, the decision was made that it was more cost-effective to hire, I think it's Library Corporation of America or something, a
right,
corporation who would handle all those details and pay them a single sum and not have those unfunded liabilities that are plaguing every other department in the county government.
Well, they also have, this is, you know, they've privatized the library.
It's contracted.
It's contracted out, but it's a lot of money. And mm-hmm, from what I understand is they get, you can't touch that money. The way this contract is written, you know, you're going to pay them before you pay the police. I've got to check on that one, but I heard that they're kind of like untouchable. But that can be changed when the contract happens. And the bottom line is we need a front door. Let's go to the phones. David, good morning. You have a comment.
To me, it's Homeland Security's camel's nose under the tent. I would bet that this program is being funded by Homeland Security.
Are we talking about what?
Well, I mean, she's got a huge list. And
oh, yeah.
A county, you know, that's not a huge county. You know, you're talking about a huge amount of security state kind of programs. This to me is, you know, when George Bush first created Homeland Security, what, over 10 years ago, he put in John Poindexter, and he was going to have his total information awareness, right? So one of the biggest scams of that was that things like your medical records were all of a sudden going to go to the FBI, and that your medical records, they could look in advance for your profile to be
yeah,
able to figure out if you were going to commit a crime. Now, you look at all of these clean sweep names and all of this cheesy kind of, I don't trust this at all. It sounds like they just repackaged total information awareness, and they're putting together a whole pack of little programs to basically snoop on the whole county and create a new bureaucracy of security state.
Okay. Okay, David, thanks for your comment.
Sure.
This is not the ideas you have here are going to be funded kind of locally and all that. I mean, this is not a way of getting into everybody's business.
Yeah, there's definitely no federal government connection whatsoever. No.
This is everybody thrown in.
Yeah, I mean, some
happen,
of this
right?
is funded by local nonprofits. Some of this is going to be city. Some of it's county. And yeah, it's I'm certainly not an employee of any government.
I don't know.
You're not representing Homeland Security today?
I'm not today, but, okay, you know.
Today, but tomorrow?
Hey. You never know.
Okay. But, you know, as you know, people – but see, this is the kind of things that people see happening, and they're going, well, what really – where's the impetus behind this? And the impetus behind this is let's make our community safe.
Yeah.
And
right.
Now it's time – you know, frankly, April, I moderated the one back in July with the,
yes,
the town hall.
Yes, I saw you there, yes.
And there was – we had as many people turned away as were there, standing room only, as mm-hmm. you saw, over 750 people there. And – I haven't seen any changes. I've seen a couple of things. We got bike patrols and maybe a couple other things happening.
Mm-hmm.
But frankly, and then so where is the leadership?
Right.
Where are the county supervisors that this has been going on for 3 years? We still don't have a place to put people. We
yeah.
still have the same problem. And now it's frankly with the Prop 47 just being
mm-hmm.
passed, we're going to have more people here.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we can really hope for right now for a general respite is that we have a horribly cold, wet, rainy winter that forces people south.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, that's the only thing that we can hope for. I mean, unless somebody else can point something out to me. However, we got to take a break, but we do want to talk about a couple of things, a low-hanging fruit that
sure.
maybe we could grab right
yeah,
now
yeah,
and do something right away. And this, you know, because we need to do something.
Agreed.
And that is why, you know, you're on here and you're going to continue to be on here. And we're going to keep banging this drum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay. We'll be right back. Carl Bott, Gary Hayward. We're here with, April LaFrance from the Safe City. Project.
Can our northern counties afford to lose over 50 jobs? It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to drive to Sacramento and back 322 miles round trip for a bottle of milk? Of course not. It doesn't make sense. What this means to you, up to 7 days turnaround time on your mail, checks and bill payments will be delayed, seniors and veterans medications will be delayed, families forced to leave the area because schools declining enrollment, fewer people means retailers affected by loss of revenue. It doesn't make sense. What you can do, check your local area weekly newspaper and the Record Searchlight Thursday date section to sign the petition to save our local mail processing. Deadline is December 1st for names to be submitted. Just say no to the closure of local mail processing. It's the People's Post Office. Let's save it. Your name counts. You will make a difference. We need your help now. Paid for by the American Postal Workers Union. Call 223-7552 for more information. That's 223-7552.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Red and Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Red and Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Red and Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us. Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed. And we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. If you hear phone numbers, please do not call.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's here. Good morning, Linda.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. She's going to hop on here and just say hello.
All right. Good morning, everyone. And I would like to, Carl and I would like to send our wishes and blessings to all of your family for a wonderful Thanksgiving. My family, my 81-year-old mother and 83-year-old father will be coming in today. And we'll be spending time giving thanks. And so be mindful this weekend of what you can do to be a better person in our community. And be tolerant.
this is really a time for us to be filled with grace. So anyway, I came in to say we love you and we're so glad that you're our loyal listeners and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Okay, hon. Awesome. Linda and I will be off tomorrow and Friday. You'll be having here in Best Of. So we're giving all of our people time off for this weekend until Saturday when they're back into the fight again. And we'll be back Monday. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, man's last stronghold.
Yes, it is.
It is. Hey, Gary and I get our haircut there, and Bob gets his haircut there. You know, it's not that women are, you know what? Women are invited in there to sit. And to sit and watch us get our haircuts. I mean, unless you want a haircut, like they don't style hair. It's just they cut hair.
Tim and DC Rocket.
Whoa,
they do.
That's right. There you go.
Good conversation too.
Man's last stronghold. Okay. Yeah, the only styling gel you're going to see there is Butch Wax.
There's nothing like a straight razor to finish it off.
Okay, around the ears.
Oh, yes.
You know what? Who says guys don't like take care of themselves? All right. April LaFrance is our guest, who is head of the Safe City Project. And we talked about what are some things right now that we can hop, I mean, that the city and or in the community, I guess the community is going to have to take the lead in this, aren't we?
It's really helpful to have the community engaged, for sure. So I'll just say one that we've got some quick momentum on is the Homeward Bound program, which is basically a reunification program. There are homeless folks in our city who feel stuck here. Perhaps they followed a boyfriend, girlfriend up the coast, across the country, something, and relationship dissolves. And they're in Redding or Shasta County without any sort of support system here, no job, no money, and don't have opportunity here at the time. And so that or, you know, people did come for a job, fell in hard times there in Redding, and they really came from somewhere else and would love to get home, but they'll, you know, to tell our police they don't have the money to get there. So Homeward Bound is a reunification program. What happens is you ask someone, are you from somewhere else? Do you have a place that you would have a support system if you went to, housing available, and Good News Rescue Mission has come forward to say they'll facilitate that program, which includes a verification of a support system where the person would be heading to.
They're not going to be sent to another homeless shelter.
No, right. No.
They're going to be sent to
a home.
A real person, not something very tenuous.
Right. So an actual solution. We're not enabling in
the issue. They're actually sent to a home.
That's awesome.
Someone who has said, yes, I will house them, help them get back on their feet. And so then it's, you know, we provide transportation, meal vouchers if needed, you know, shower before they head out, fresh clothes. There's been discussion about some added services, some just real, like, get someone some dignity before they head home, you know, whether it's hair or makeup. And I mean, that part's not solid yet, but,
why not? I mean, let's send them home. I mean, we just saw the photos that just hit the,
Nigel Skeets yeah,
taking photos. And, in fact, La-di-da and, Bethany Hill was doing the makeup and hair. The, you know, taking homeless people and cleaning them up. I mean,
yeah.
I hate to say that, but then, you know, taking their photos.
Well, and it would be a great time to have that happen as they're heading home, as they're heading to a start somewhere else with a support system.
Well, let's thank Joe Wong here.
Yeah, let's thank Joe Wong. Came forward,
we're
and I mean,
we're trying to get Joe on today, and you know, just to thank him. But let's thank him right now. I don't think he's, you know, who knows where Joe is, but because he's put his money up, right?
He has. He has. He put money out and wants the community to continue to do that and thinks, you know, for Joe, he said, this is one that can be effective quickly to end that cycle of homelessness for some people. You know, really fast. And get them a fresh start. And so we're really excited, really grateful that Mr. Wong stepped forward and put money to donate towards this.
Yeah, and he's going to match even more, I think.
He is, yeah, so, up to $18,000.
That's
wow.
Yeah, to get people home, get them out of here. And San Francisco was having problems with theirs at first because they were shipping them. Well, let's take them from here to another homeless project in as far away as we could get them.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I'm sure that there's we know of instances where people have been sent here to Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to try and fight that one. What about the tank or the sobering?
Yeah,
the
sobering house? Some people have called it the drunk tank. We're calling it the sobering center, and We really love this idea because, as you know, we're really limited for jail space in Shasta County. And I think it was around 1,200 arrests from RPD last year that were do you want to take that call?
Let's take this call. Okay. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
We have Joe.
Good time to call.
Oh, it's a great time to call. We were just talking about you. Joe Wong is on the phone. We were just, in fact, we were just saying really nice things about you, Joe.
Well, thank you. Well, it's good to be in your program.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. When you heard about this, the Homeward Bound program, you just jumped right onto it. Can you tell us why?
Well, I was at the Safe City rally a couple weeks ago, and the group had come up with 11 solutions. I mean, every one of them is workable, and I feel the Homeward Bound program is the most impactful and immediate. You can measure the results, and it's good for the recipient and also for the community. So I was excited, and the first thought was I want to, you know, sponsor 100 people to kick off a campaign, and hoping that community will match the fund.
Well, we hope
so. So far, yeah, we have very good response.
Well, this was a great step forward. First, April, to putting this group together for the Safe City Project. But to make it work, it's going to take citizens, because I think it's time that the citizens really have to take the lead in this. We've waited for the elected representatives to move forward. But I think, like in everything, it takes citizens, concerned citizens that have got the ideas, and then to support it like you did. And you do a lot for our community, Joe, and this was just another example.
Yeah, it's awesome, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah,
well,
thank you, Joe.
My pleasure. Just a small token, you know, that's something that, you know, we as a group can do to help the community. And I think this is a perfect timing during the holiday season, you know, be that for Thanksgiving or Christmas, that I personally would like to see it, you know, the program started before the holiday.
Well, you know what, since April's right here, and we've got, I think she said Good News Rescue Mission is pushing out on this, wouldn't it be great to send some people home for Christmas? And we can follow that. And we can do it thanks to Joe here.
And how do we let people know how to participate in it?
Yeah,
well?
How do we do that?
That's important.
April, how do we reach out there? Is Good News Rescue Mission reaching out right now?
So we're still establishing how to fold out the program. But they would be the contact. So Jonathan Anderson is the new director over at Good News Rescue Mission. He and I have been in conversation about this and continuing to talk to build the program. But he's pretty optimistic we're going to be able to launch fairly quickly. Just trying to get those details in place to make sure, you know, we've learned from other models around the country. We want to do it right. We want to do it well, based in Reading.
Okay. Joe, thank you very much, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
One of the questions is, you're not paying anybody on the other end to take people. This is going back to their own homes. Like
right.
This.
This is we would be transporting someone where that person has a verified connection.
Yeah.
So we're not hiring anyone somewhere else to take people. This is a connection that they have, that, you know, they're giving contact information to the mission, who says, okay, I'm going to call that uncle in Michigan. We're going to have a conversation to find out, do you have the capacity? Are you willing to help this person get back on their feet? They're going to verify that support system.
I've seen this program work on a smaller scale. The tribe has this program for the Native American community, mm-hmm. and it works fantastic.
Really?
Because a lot of times people they get stranded. They're left without resources. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just too prideful for help, and then once they find out they can, it's the way that you provide them that dignity to get them back on their feet and get them back to where they came from. And it works. I've seen it work over and over. So.
Okay, and to answer the question, another question that came in here, Homeward Bound spends their money on getting the tickets, getting them food, getting them clothing,
right,
and then sending them home. So
yes.
each person is going to cost probably, what, I mean... $600, $700, something like that.
Well, or, I mean, you know, San Francisco's program, which they've been doing it for quite some time. I think they've sent 8,000 people home at this point. Wow. They're about $180 a person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, so very, very low cost. We are looking for, and we've had a few people contact us, but we are looking for some licensed clinical social workers or someone that can help, you know, a social service type of connection that would be a volunteer. It wouldn't be many hours a month, but to come in and interact with some folks that say, I think I'm ready to go home. And it would just be helpful to have that social worker background interacting with them.
Okay. So it's going to cost like about $180 to send them back. You get a, you know, you get 100 people. There's, that adds up real quick.
It does.
So, okay, great. Okay. Really appreciate Joe Wong calling in.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's a story behind that. And we have found our conduit here. Because he needs to be recognized. He needs to be thanked. I'm glad we were able to do it over the air.
Okay. Definitely. We need more people like him in the community.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of people like him in the community. I think that we just have to awaken them.
Hmm.
And we have to reach out.
Like, that's good.
I agree. I totally agree.
And like Gary has and like we do. I think they're there.
That's true.
We just have to mobilize them.
Hmm.
And we have to go beyond the elected officials because, frankly, elected officials, I haven't seen it. No offense to any of them, but I haven't seen the vision there to do these things.
I haven't.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it since I came home, which was almost 20 years ago. It's gotten less and less.
Work really well. Successful bureaucrats, and this is not an indictment against them, but the successful bureaucrats work very, very well in the system because they are used to the system. Mm-hmm. When you have to get out of that system and to go out and reach out like you have and Gary has and other people have, then you've got to have a different mindset. And so this isn't an indictment at all. But we need the new ideas and then let them to help put the, put the impetus on it and help out with the, on the legal side or whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, it's awesome how you came in the community and you're a catalyst for change. You started this change. Now, like Joe stepping up, that's the start of this change happening.
Yeah.
Now we got to keep it rolling because it's easy. If it just gets put on the shelf, like most things do, it goes away. People forget about it. So I think this is an opportunity to keep this moving.
I agree.
We're going to take a quick break here. April LaFrance heads up the Safe City Project is our guest, Gary Hayward and myself, the day before Thanksgiving. We'll be right back.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase.
Howdy, North State football fans. Nate Aberea here. What a season it's been here in the North State, and we got one more game for you. It's the D2 Northern Section Championship. This Saturday night, the reigning Kings, Redding's own Enterprise Hornets, host the Pleasant Valley Vikings of Chico. Redding Kia pregame show at 6:30, kickoff at 7. It's Enterprise and Pleasant Valley Saturday night on the North State's radio home for local football, KCNR 1460.
A little holiday magic can go a long way, especially when it comes to shopping. Online superstores just don't have the cheer and warmth you need when winter kicks in and the to-do lists get long. But there's one place that really celebrates the season. Mount Shasta Mall's 80 stores and services help you give with confidence, and all the special seasonal events make sure you can enjoy some signature holiday magic. Charity Trail of Trees and Family Dynamics presents Storytime with Santa this Saturday, December 6th at the food court beginning at 9:30 a.m., a free book to the first 200 children donated by First Five Shasta. Milk and cookies will be served. Crafts and activities following at JCPenney and Macy's Courts from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Drawings and giveaways from all gift cards and Turtle Bay memberships. Mark your calendar and join the fun. Find the cheer this year when you celebrate and shop at the Mount Shasta Mall. Give a little magic.
The weather outside is frightful, but the wine over on the west side is delightful. Westside Wines at 1872 Buenaventura is your new hotspot for holiday cheer. Whether you are a wine newbie or you really know your vintages, the wine educators at Westside Wines can help you find that perfect bottle. From beautiful Bordeaux to crisp Chardonnays, their rare boutique finds will surely delight you. Westside Wines wishes you a sparkling Christmas.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the day before Thanksgiving, November the 26th. Just a small town girl. In a lonely world.
Isn't that the song they played when the Giants were in the World Series? That's the one they kept going to?
Yeah, that one. The last song you heard in The Sopranos.
Yeah, it was.
Playing that. It was 8:50, 8:49 in the morning. 46 degrees out there. It's going to be a nice day today. Thanksgiving, of course, tomorrow is going to be, it looks like the rain's going to be moving in on the weekend. We need lots of rain. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Tomorrow, you're going to hear a best of, because we've got everybody off tomorrow in the studios, and Friday, and then Saturday, the shows are back on, and we're going to have, I imagine most of them are going to be recorded shows, but we still have our producers and board operators around. And then back into the fight on Monday. I'm here with Gary Hayward here. It's a good time. You know what? I'm glad you're here today before Thanksgiving.
Me too.
Gary's a good friend. He's the general manager out there at the Wind River Resort Casino. And has done so many, you know, talking about doing things for the community, how you all reach out too. Here we've got April LaFrance, Safe Cities Project, reaching out after, you know, being here. And I have Gary and Maria here. And the Ready Ratchet Rhea reaching out like you all do.
Yeah.
Two really pivotal forces. And then Joe Wong calls. I mean, there's a trifecta going on here. And Maurice Johannesson's going to be on next week talking about his plans of what he wants to do for the out there at the veterans. I mean, these are people that make us so happy to live here.
And we need to keep this going. We've got to keep the ball rolling and get more people involved because then it's going to happen.
We need to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about the Homeward Bound program. Great idea. And somebody asked, how much does it cost? And we're thinking like about $180 a person to get them cleaned up, bus ticket, get them home. Because we're not flying them home. It's bus tickets
generally,
home with food.
Generally
bus tickets. But what's another one? Of so many of the things there that we have that need to be done, what's another one that we could jump into right away?
So what Jason Schroeder shared about Stand Up Reading and neighborhoods, kind of taking ownership of neighborhoods and going after properties that are mismanaged, that's one that, I mean, we can do right away. And he just talked about that crime triangle and mismanaged properties being the location that facilitates crime being a big part of it. That kind of also goes into our code enforcement conversation around solving, you know, reducing crime with addressing some code enforcement issues with hotels and motels. But from a neighborhood perspective, you know, finding out those houses where, you know, hey, I know they're dealing drugs at this house in my neighborhood, or I know something shady is going on. As a citizen, don't just say there's not much I can do about it. Find out what you can do. If there is a neighborhood watch in your neighborhood, figure out how to get involved with that. And then, you know, there are ways to contact RPD that's effective. Whether it's gathering license plates, you know, if you see 20 cars kind of going in and out of one house on your street, right, you know something's going on, you start getting license plates and there's something they can do about it. It's not just a, hey, I know a guy is dealing drugs on my street. It's gaining the appropriate information that RPD would need to do something and move forward. And Doug Wright is an attorney in town, and he's had a lot of great things to say about how powerful you can be as a citizen to address some of those properties. So that's one. Another one that, you know.
Private property, you can just go in and clean it up yourself. You don't need to ask permission. You don't need to post it.
No.
It's yours. You can just go in.
If it's yours, yeah.
If it's yours. If you ask the police to do it, they've got to then go through the posting and, you know, 7 days and all this stuff.
And then retaining all the belongings.
Truthfully, we had a house across the street from us that was in disrepair, not disrepair, but it had, you know, some people in it. But when they we fought this one and fought it, and the bank says, well, we can't kick them out. They're squatters. What do you mean you can't kick them out? They're squatters. And they said it was going to take 90 days. So I tell you, on the 90th. Here come the police. Here come the bank. And not one or two people came out of that house. 20.
Wow.
People came out of that house just scattering. Like you turn the light on and they just scattered. And it was like, wow. and somebody ends up buying the house for like nothing, and who works as a kind of works for himself from work. I think he works down like Lowe's or one of the Home Depot, has fixed that house up. It's beautiful on the street, and then he got it probably for like almost nothing. But it can be done in your community.
Yeah, it can be done. And one of the things that, you know, one of our companies, Woodstone Construction, does is we do that. We work with real estate investors and do a little bit of our own. But a lot of times it's with investors. They're buying a foreclosed property. It's the worst house on the street.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes they're squatters. And, I mean, you know, sometimes they're making drugs in the house. It's been a mess. And to turn that around, the whole neighborhood changes.
It does. You know what? And where our neighborhood was is a nice neighborhood. But that one house right there was, once that was fixed, it just seems like, and then we have somebody that's like a bulldog on the end of the street who goes after this one apartment complex and has gone after him. We've signed petitions. We've done everything except march on the owners who don't live right here in town. And the owners finally got it. Of course, the police raided it like four times too. And they've landscaped it. The people in there are different than the last groups of people.
Wow.
And no problems.
Wow.
And but it took everybody getting involved in it.
Yeah.
So. The code enforcement fix is not easy, but there's some ideas that y'all have. I think of train volunteers to do inspections if you don't have enough code enforcement people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great idea. They can go in there and see if something's dirty or messy. I mean, you may not be able to get into if this, you know, load bearing, but
yeah, and some of it is driving by and seeing there isn't a there is an abandoned vehicle tucked on the side of this property. Some of it is as simple as that. It isn't easy, but how many of us can say, hey, if I think about something great, really great that I've done in my life, most of the time that was not equal to something that was really easy that you did in your life. Our greatest accomplishments are often our greatest challenges, and let's go do it. I absolutely think that code enforcement is a huge one for our city.
I guarantee there's people out there that would take the initiative to participate in that initiative. I know they would.
Yeah.
But it's given them the opportunity to do it and given them the ability to make a difference and get out there and do it,
Yeah, and one of the things we really pitched with code enforcement was this calls for service fining scale. And so basically those trouble motels that you talk about, the ones that have the most drain on our public safety resources in the city. Okay, this particular property has had, 30 calls to RPD in the last 3 months because they're a haven for crime. Those properties get a far larger fine when it comes to code enforcement than, let's say, a good upstanding hotel.
Right.
And so it costs. If you want to operate a motel that is a haven for drug trafficking or sex trafficking in our city, it's going to be incredibly expensive.
And we already know which ones those are. They have statistics to show and prove which ones they are.
Ask Plenty. Ask Rob Plenty how many times. We had one hotel. There's like 300 times. In a year, 300 times. And how many times did it cost, to go down there? And they finally got that one.
Yeah, it's our tax money.
Yeah,
it's our tax money, and we're pouring it into a particular property that doesn't want to manage itself.
Okay. We're here with April LaFrance, Gary Hayward, and myself. We're talking about, code enforcement and taking back our neighborhoods, which is really, really important. And then
Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound, which is super important. We only got like about 3 minutes left, so I don't know how much time we can get in this, but I really like the idea of the sober house.
Yeah, sober center.
Their
we
sober
love
center.
It.
I call it sober house because you just, rubber rooms, you just throw them in. No, that's not what it is. Where you can take people off the street instead of taking them to jail.
Yeah.
Give them the choice. You can go to jail or you can go to here.
Mm-hmm.
And then work it that way.
Yeah, and it's a really simple model. We looked at sobering centers in other communities. They're very basic. There's kind of this, cot set up. They're clean, and it's an opportunity to, get food in their belly, shower, sleep it off, and then it's all about directing them to services. Okay, rough night last night. You got picked up by RPD, brought over here to the sobering center. Let's talk about addiction in your life and the consequences and what you're suffering from because of it. And you're directing someone to the successful resources that our community already has for rehab.
And we're not bogging down the jail
system. We're also not bogging down RPD. To drop someone at a sobering center is like 45 minutes compared to 3 hours trying to book them at the jail.
And this doesn't mean DUIs. This is not your DUIs driving under the influence. These are people that are walking along the streets or they're
public intoxication.
Public intoxication.
Yeah.
That's right.
But your DUIs, they're not staying in the jail either. They're getting let out. Someone gets, RPD picks them up for a DUI, they get booked, and they're walking out the door.
Well, that's soon. And that's true.
Yeah.
And but I think that's more of like a criminal offense.
Yeah.
Like a DUI, then is, I mean, as opposed to somebody that
then just
see
a public intoxication
urinating on the wall there that you can just pick up and just put them into I don't really have no idea what that number is either, but it's why have a policeman deal with that and our own medical facilities deal with that if we can have something.
Yeah, that's the other thing is the bog on the emergency departments.
Okay,
can we congratulate April real quick? She's
she's
one of our 20 under 40 emerging leaders in our community, and I think you just got recognized recently because Silas said he called. Like, did he call you, hopefully?
He did, yeah,
good.
Silas
okay,
called
me. Okay, good. because there was one person he didn't get a hold of, but I just want to tell you thank you for everything you do. I had the honor of being on that committee, so I didn't even know who you were, but when I read about you, you're exactly who it says you are. So
thank you so much. Really
well, thank you, April. And thank you, Gary, for being with me today and having another great show. It's
thank you.
First
and
of many.
It's great. I'm sitting here. The pressure is when I'm sitting here and Linda's looking at me because I'm in her seat right now. But I'm trying to keep it warm. But
there'll be no hugs after
it'll
the
never
show.
Be as hot, okay. It'll never be as hot as Linda's.
No. So. Hey, everybody have a great Thanksgiving out there. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR Shasta Redding, Shasta Regional Medical Center brings you the news.
He fired more than 100 rounds, a gunman in Austin, Texas, who opened fire on several buildings early today before taking his own life or being fatally shot by police. Austin Police Chief Art Acevedo says the motive isn't clear, but he has some ideas.
Well, you know, it'd be pure speculation, but if you look at a person shooting up the Mexican consulate, you know, and then the federal building, there's a pretty, and this is all speculation, but when you look at the national debate right now about immigration, that certainly comes to mind.
He says officers who approached the suspect saw cylinders in his nearby vehicle, discovered he was wearing a vest they thought might be rigged to explode. Officers retreated. The bomb squad was called in. It was later determined the items were not explosives. Heavy Black Friday traffic crashed the Best Buy website, the retailer throwing up a message of apology. Instead of shopping online, a lot of people have